Sometimes our friends become our enemies, and sometimes our enemies become our friends. Next to it was a cluster of smaller pictures, some of Sansom standing with groups of people, some of him alone, and shaking hands and smiling with other individuals. Some of the group shots were formal, and some were of wide smiles and confetti-strewn stages after election victories. I saw Elspeth in most of them. Her hair had changed a lot over the years. I saw Springfield in some of the others, his small, wary shape easily recognizable, even though the images were tiny. The two shots were what news photographers call grip and grins. Some of the individuals in them I recognized, and some I didn't. Some had autographed the pictures with extravagant dedications, and some hadn't. Sansom said, "So?" I said, "I know about the DSM in March of 1983.
"How?"
"Because of the Val Silent Sniper. The battle axe I told you about is the widow of the guy you took it from, which is why you reacted to the name. Maybe you never heard of Lila Hoth or Svetlana Hoth, but you met with some other guy called Hoth back in the day. That's for damn sure. It was obvious. You probably took his dog tags and had them translated. You've probably still got them as souvenirs." There was no surprise, no denial. Sansom just said, "No. Actually, those tags were locked up with the after-action reports and everything else." I said nothing. Sansom said, "His name was Grigory Hoff. He was about my age at the time. He seemed competent. His spotter, not so much. He should have heard us coming." I didn't reply. There was a long silence. Then the situation seemed to hit home, and Sansom's shoulders fell, and he sighed, and he said, "What a way to get found out, right? Medals are supposed to be rewards, not penalties. They're not supposed to screw you up. They're not supposed to follow you around the rest of your life like a damn ball and chain." I said nothing. He asked, "What are you going to do?" "Nothing." "Really?" "I didn't care what happened in 1983. And they lied to me. First about Berlin, and they're still lying to me now. They claim to be mother and daughter, but I don't believe them. The alleged daughter is the cutest thing you ever saw. The alleged mother fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch. I first met them with a cop from the NYPD. She said, 30 years from now, the daughter will look just like the mother. But she was wrong. The younger one will never look like the older one, not in a million years."
"So, who are they?"
"I'm prepared to accept that the older one is for real. She was a Red Army political commissar who lost her husband and her brother in Afghanistan." "Her brother?" "The spotter." "But the younger woman is posing?" I nodded. "As a billionaire expatriate widow from London. She says her husband was an entrepreneur who didn't make the cut."
"And she's not convincing?"
"She dresses the part. She acts it well. Maybe she lost a husband somewhere along the line.
But what is she really?"
"I think she's a journalist."
"Why?"
"She knows things. She's got the right kind of inquiring mind. She's analytical. She monitors the Herald Tribune. She's a hell of a storyteller. But she talks too much. She's in love with words, and she embroiders details. She can't help herself."
"For example?"
"She went for some extra pathos. She made out that the political commissars were in the trenches along with the grunts. She claims she was conceived on a rock floor under a Red Army greatcoat, which is bullshit. Commissars were big-time rear echelon pussies. They stayed well away from the action. They clustered together back at HQ writing pamphlets. Occasionally they would visit up the line, but
Never if there was any danger involved.
And you know this, Hal? You know how I know it. We expected to fight a land war with them in Europe. We expected to win. We expected to take millions of them prisoner. MPs were trained to handle them all. The 110th was going to direct operations. Delusional, maybe, but the Pentagon took it very seriously. We were taught more about the Red Army than we were about the U.S. Army. Certainly, we were told exactly where to find the commissars. We were under orders to execute them all immediately.
What kind of journalist?
Television, probably. The local crew she hired was tied to the television business. And have you ever seen Eastern European television? All the anchors are women, and they all look sensational.
What country?
Ukraine. What angle? Investigative, historical, with a little human interest mixed in. The younger one probably heard the older one's story and decided to run with it.
Like the History Channel in Russian
and Ukrainian.
Why? What's the message? They want to embarrass us now after more than 25 years?
No, I think they want to embarrass the Russians. There's a lot of tension right now between Russia and the Ukraine. I think they're taking America's evil for granted and saying that big bad Moscow shouldn't have put poor, helpless Ukrainians in harm's way.
So why haven't we seen the story already?
Because they're way behind the times. They're looking for confirmation. They still seem to have some kind of journalistic scruples over there.
Are they going to get confirmation?
Not from you, presumably. And no one else knows anything for sure. Susan Mark didn't live long enough to say yay or nay, so the lid is back on. I advised them to forget all about it and head home.
Why are they posing as mother and daughter?
Because it's a great con. It's appealing. It's like reality TV. Or those magazines they sell in the supermarket. Clearly, they studied our culture.
Why wait so long?
It takes time to build a mature television industry. They probably wasted years on important stuff.
Sansom nodded vaguely and said, "It's not true that no one knows anything for sure. You seem to know plenty.
But I'm not going to say anything.
Can I trust you on that?
I served 13 years. I know all kinds of things. I don't talk about them."